Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart, the Lord our God is mightily moving, and he's mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. Today is a glorious day that the Lord has made. We can all rejoice in it because God is his return is so soon. And Jesus said something about the last hour, that he would, people would be deployed into his vineyard, hired to go help gather the last of the harvest. And this is a very crucial time to follow God like never before. There are some key things that I learned about following God over the years. You have to learn to trust to do things in his strength, not yours. Many can have the ability at this point to use faith at their will, and that's a glorious, wonderful thing. We can do great things by faith. Whatever you set out to do, you can do it by faith. This is amazing to men. But when you try to use your faith to do God's will, or what you think God wants you to do, you will only go so far. Hear me good. When you trust God, when you can trust to do whatever he put in your heart, when you can trust to do what he originated, not what you originate, but what he originated, and the way he do it, and the method that he gives you, when you can act on that by your faith, you can put something in motion that Satan can't reverse. This is following God. Called religion gives people a format. It will partially work. It has to partially work because it has to seem to work. It has to impress people. But it won't fit what God wants to do. It won't do everything that what God originates can do. And Satan knows this. So what called religion will do, it'll give you a format, and you stick to these bylaws and formats, and you're going to be limited forever. And God has had to work with the formats of men to win who he could. And I saw this. I saw how formats hinder God as I began to study the Word of God. I grew up in church. And I thank God for the Methodist church. I grew up in the Methodist church. My dad was a wonderful Methodist pastor. His heart was in it. And my mother's heart was in it. And they blessed each other. They did great things. They blessed a lot of people. But when you allow God to show you everything, you become unlimited. So I wanted to learn about the Holy Spirit. When I started studying for myself, I read the book of Acts. I was interested in the Holy Spirit. I studied what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit, and I wanted the Holy Spirit. So I went to a Pentecostal church, a holiness church. And I had met some people I met a lady who had a relationship with the Lord, and I wanted a relationship like that. I wanted God to be able to talk to me, and I talked to him and do whatever he say do. And I thought everybody in the Holiness Church was like Ron Powell and others that I had met that greatly impressed me. But everybody's not like Ron Powell and the other people that impressed me. I received the Holy Spirit at Blunny Ruff's house. His son, Keelan, was in our band. We had a band going, and he was in it. And I said, this is a guy named Terrence. Terrence Gibbons used to always tell me I needed the Holy Ghost. He went to the Holiness Church that I went to. I ended up going to church with Terrence Gibbons at Refuge Temple. And it was a good church. And the pastor was a Holiness pastor, but he taught people. He was a teaching pastor, a good pastor. I thank him for what he done for me. Elder Lewis. And nevertheless, I told Keithan, now this is before I went to Refuge Temple. I was still going to the Methodist Church, which was also a good church. I went to one in town. My dad had pastored out of town in those days. I went to church with Reverend Price. And I wanted to learn about the Holy Spirit. So I told Keith, I said, some guy keeps telling me I need the Holy Ghost. And Keith was saying, you do. He said, you need the Holy Spirit. I said, well, I want the Holy Spirit. He said, my mom and them, they'll pray with you. I said, it's 11 o'clock at night. He said, they don't mind. So I went there and received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And she said, now, you don't have to tarry for the Holy Spirit. She was like Mom Powell. She had a relationship with Miss Ruffin. That was Keaton's mother. And she said, hallelujah is the highest praise. You're praising God for a gift that he already gave you. She made it plain. And I had studied those scriptures, so I knew she was right. And I worshiped God, thanking him for the Holy Spirit that he gave me. See, with faith, you have to believe you got it before you see it and experience it. And I started speaking in tongues. And that's a sign that you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And everything in my life got blessed. I was blessed. I was able to control my tongue, which I had been trying to do for 6 months from the time I first believed on Jesus Christ. And I was able to stop using bad words after I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. My life got stronger because I yielded to him and I learned who he was. Now, when you stick to a format, you're going to miss out on things like this. If I stuck to the Methodist format, then I love the Methodist Church. But if you stick to any form of format that disagrees with parts of God's word, you won't receive that light. And you won't be able to go forward. So I studied under the Holiness doctrines. Some things was right, some things were wrong. But I learned to follow God. And I learned to ask questions. If he wants me to do right, and I want to do right, and I want to be effective, I don't want to just think I'm right. I want to be effective. If your life don't work, something's wrong. Somewhere. And you got to find out what is wrong somewhere. So I learned to depend on the Lord to show me what to change and how to change. And I learned two things. If I trust God, I'm going to succeed. And if I trust myself, I'm not going to succeed in whatever I'm trying to do. Because I'm limited. My knowledge is limited. And I don't know everything. But the Holy Spirit does. Jesus said, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. So every problem that I had, I sought the Lord about. This is precious to me. I gave God my attention. And I began to learn some things. There's so much to learn. There's so much to learn. But everything you learn works together with everything in your life. helps you to make better judgments, better decisions. And I learned that I had authority, but I had to learn warfare. And I had to learn how to be stable. I had to learn how to receive the knowledge of God and continue forward. Even though if other people are not doing that, they won't understand what you're doing. Even if you try to explain it to them, they don't have a reference for it. So some things you'll have to do by yourself if you're going to proceed in greater light. If the Lord can get your attention, see, I know for a fact if the Lord can get anybody's attention and they'll do what I'm doing, the Lord will enhance everything in their life. But here's some things you got to do. You can't leave anything to happenstance. When I felt tempted, when the enemy tried to stop me, you know, just like Jezebel interrupted Ahab. Ahab may have been a great king if he didn't marry that witch. To overcome the witchcraft of Baal worship, because everywhere I went, women would try to throw themselves at me. Not all the time, but it was satanic. It was not normal. This never happened till I began to till I got called to the ministry. So I didn't want to barely survive this thing. I wanted to kill this problem. So I said, Lord, teach me how to see women like you do. And I want everybody beside my wife to be like Joan, Gill, and Karen. They're my sisters. In my eyes. I didn't know how to do it but myself. I depended on the Lord, and He helped me. I'm using this for an example, and then it's personal. Sometimes people need to give more personal examples instead of trying to save face. A lot of men struggle with this problem, and it distracts them from knowing God, even if they're surviving it, because you can't win good with trying to fight, put out fires all the time, trying to stop the enemy. I wanted to kill the problem. See, Jesus depicted Satan as a serpent. You kill the serpent at the head. He can be killed. This shows you that anything that he do, you can crush his head and he can't bother you anymore. Temptation can't work if there's no attachments. If you're not enticed by it. I couldn't change what's outside, but I could change what's inside. I got a brand new heart. So I use that, my brand new heart, as a weapon. The proverb said, he that rules his heart is greater than he that takes a city. And I asked the Lord to teach me how to see things like he does. He taught me how to walk in love. At my request, I asked him to help me, and through that I learned to overcome. To make a long story short, he helped me see women as people, his daughters, instead of objects. And he said, what he said that broke everything, that helped me crush Satan's head, was, don't fear falling. Because as long as I feared it, the enemy was using my fear to aggravate me with this problem. I didn't know how to do all these things. I just wanted to obey God and follow Him. And the Lord showed me how to do it at my request. Now, I said all that to say this. Don't just seek God till you feel relieved. Subdue the problem to where it can't ever come back and haunt you again. Kemp's taught us how to speak faith. See, what do you want? You can speak what you want. When the enemy would try to tell me, Terrence Gibbons said something, that Elder Lewis taught him. He said, if you ever feel tempted with a woman, don't just pray for yourself, pray for the woman too. And I had also learned about authority, and I had authority, so I would not only pray for the woman and myself, I would take authority over Satan. I would say, Satan, you can't tempt me with her, and you can't tempt her with me, and it worked 100% of the time. But to kill the temptation, I had to be disconnected from the fear. I had to overcome the fear of falling. And then I was free. With everything else I learned. Now there's other broadcasts, you just have to listen to other broadcasts on that. And it talks about, I talk about it from time to time. So you can be free from any form of sin, because God didn't give you the spirit of fear. And he put Satan under your foot. He didn't put your head under Satan's foot. He put Satan's head under your foot. Jesus did this for us. See, as he is, so are we in this world. He overcame death, hell, and grave. We overcome death, hell, and grave. Because he did it for us. And we believe it. We receive it by faith. And we have peace and fellowship with God. And whatever else we need, if you don't feel strong enough, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. The Holy Spirit can give you might. He's a spirit of might. He knows how to charge you with might. But after he gets you out of danger, go back and learn how to and fortify yourself. A lot of people are falling and not finishing the course that God gave them, because they don't fortify themselves. There's no limit to how strong you can become. And people talk about how weak the flesh is. Jesus mentioned that. Yes, at that stage, the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. He knew he would have a problem in that area, just like his disciples. But guess what? If your heart can grow in him, I learned this for myself, your mind can be renewed, and the desires of your flesh is changeable. If you can control your heart, you can control your flesh. And you don't have to live your life with reluctant flesh. That's not what Jesus is saying. He just exposed the fact that the flesh can be weaker than the heart. But everything in God's house is adjustable. When you renew your mind, your mind can make adjustments in how you think, and your mind won't get in the way of God's progress. You'll be able to adapt faster. I adapt faster in my mind, because I take time and renew it, and I speak the word. For my flesh, the way you bridle your flesh, speak what you want. Everything that, when it comes to pride, for instance, I say I hate pride. I hate the spirit of pride. It disqualifies good people. And to defy pride and act on love, it really aggravates Satan. And that's just a byproduct. I do it because I love God and his people. But I try to build everybody up. And I want everybody to do better. If I'm doing good, I want you to do better. That kills pride. What it takes me months to learn, you can learn in minutes. And then with whatever God has given you, you'll do a greater job. That's good. That's what I desire from my sanctified heart. And I use the word sanctified because he set me apart to do his work. He gave me a new heart, a new mind, new concept. They are opposite to the word. I don't want to be better than you. I want you to be better than me. And I want you to be on fire for God. I want God to take your life and use it like a tool in his hand. I'm just trying to help you do it. That's my sincere attitude. That's what I desire for everybody. I don't treat people just because God called me to minister his word. I'm not better than you. I may not be smarter than you. I'm just anointed to do what God gave me to do. He said, let not my people lack knowledge, and I intend to do so. So it's important. Everything is important. Every person is important. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. You can too. Eventually, my body will wear out and I won't be here. Or Jesus will come and rapture me and I won't be here. But whoever's here, I want them to know God. So these recordings, I pray over all the people who download these recordings. And I want people to download them as much as possible on their devices. So when the internet is down, it'll be downloaded on their smartphones and tablets and computers. And they can share it with their friends. They can listen to it when everything is shut down. See, God thinks ahead. He helps us to do things that's way ahead of Satan. Everything I do is on purpose, with purpose. God gave me revelation and insight. And I'm going to do all that's in His heart using all the resources that I can get my little hands on. Now, God can take my puny actions and multiply, just like the little boy's lunch. I can make these recordings and put it in God's hands and He can multiply. If you're hearing this, that's the handiwork of God. If you have a mind to hear this, that's the handiwork of God. Fortify in your heart. There's no stop. Kill the limitations. You're not limited anymore. You're like Jesus. You're not like Lucifer. You're not like Satan. And you're not like men. You're like Jesus. And I said, when I first got called to the ministry, the Holiness Church had its own formats too. Bylaws, rules, regulations. Women couldn't wear pants and jewelry and makeup. All these things that don't make no difference. And some churches want you to worship on a certain day. Limitations. And you got to do it this way. You can't do it that way. You got to, you know, they become legalistic in so many ways. So I said, how can you tell what's right and wrong? I made a wise choice. When I saw that the Lord would give me a message, I said, you know, some people are obviously wrong and they think they're right. I said, and I knew in my heart I could do the same thing. I could think I'm right and be wrong. So I made a choice. I said, I'm only going to preach what God gave me. And then I'm going to shut up. I'm not going to add to it, and I'm not going to take away from it. I'm going to only speak what He put in my heart. And I'm going to learn from what He's doing and have faith in it. Whoa, did that help? It kept me out of so much trouble. I don't have to give an account for dead doctrines. And when he told me to study His chapters, not just verses. I used to study verses. I started studying the chapters. I started studying chapters, 15 chapters a day. And then I started listening to books and whatever God lead me to. You get a greater visual of the heart of God when you fill your heart with His Word. You get a greater visual of the of God's Word, of God's heart, and His ways, and His will, when you study chapters and not just scriptures. You get a greater visual of who God is when you study books of the Bible. And chapters, you know what He condones, you know what He hates, you know what He loves. You learn His character, you get to know Him. Then when the Holy Spirit speaks, you got a living reference, an overcoming living reference of who He is. But if you try to confine God, big old God, into a format, you're going to have partial success, partial joy, partial peace, partial results, and even depression, because you're going to long to do things that you're not doing and you don't know why you can't. You're doing all you know and you still can't. And you feel defeated. But when you follow God, you change everything. And as you follow God, a lot of times, your best efforts will look like they're not working. Because God said he does things in seed form. And you gotta see, I know him. I learned who he is. I learned what he does. He does everything in seed form. You set something in motion and it grows. And you have to be patient. That's why Luke's Matthew? It's Matthew or Luke. Their version of the parable of the sower is that we bring forth fruit with patience. See, fruit don't grow in one day. In fact, Brother Ray in the Sunday school class said, Jesus designed us to bring forth fruit, not branches. He'll make the branches grow. We bring forth fruit. And it will cause, with the handiwork of God, branches will form. But it won't be from us. It'll be, we inspire people by living the life of God, by our fruit, the fruits of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit helps us bear fruit. See, we are covenant people. We have, when we're born again, we can ask what we will, and it will be done. Covenant people. Whatever you can think of and believe for, you can have it. You can ask for it. You can put a demand on life and change it however you want. But when you're receiving from the Lord, you can use your faith in a multiplied way. If you have a condition, you can believe God for healing. If you have a problem, you can believe God to help you solve it. But God is greater. He thinks of everything. He can use whatever you have. Give me good. Don't miss the point. He can use situations to connect you with who he needs to connect you with. The problem is, some people here heal and they don't have to go to the doctor. Sometimes because of the condition, you may be believing for healing, and he may tell you to go to the doctor. He told Kenneth Hagin to stop what he was doing, go home and take his wife to the doctor. And he thought he had more time, and the Lord told him three times. And the third time, he stopped what he was doing, went back home, got his wife, took her to the doctor, and the doctor said, if you hadn't gotten in here now, she would have died. Why does God do it that way? See, we have covenant with him, but God can use things for different reasons. He has a plan. We have to trust him. And when you trust God, when you trust what the Lord is saying, you trust him in greater ways. Why does God take you, deviate, go around the mountain? Who cares? If you follow him, you're doing things in perfection. Remember, God does things in seed form. He can do a miracle. They're wonderful. But you can't limit him to do it the same way every time. I used to try to format God until I learned not to do it. I missed out on a lot of blessings trying to figure out how he was going to do it. Or I delayed things that didn't have to be delayed. Now when I believe him, I believe him, and I go on to something else. And I'm free to think and cherish what he's trying to tell me now. Whatever I'm believing for, it's forming. I know it's forming. I'm not worried about it. I'm good. It takes all the pressure off. Now, when God tells you what to do, he's involved. But it's not the way you think, but he's involved with something greater than what you can think or come up with on your own. And people are so reluctant to let go and let God. You're not letting go into the wind. You're not being lazy. When you trust God, you're trusting a person that knows all things. You're going to greatly appreciate what he uses you to do. And then they ask the Lord to use them. Everybody want God to use me, Lord. Use me. Then when he tell you to do something, oh, no, I can't do that. Get somebody else. Come on. You trust him. If he started it, let him finish it. Bless it. Speak it. Talk to the mountains of your life. Talk to the things that are not. You can have it. Your covenant. Be covenant. I tell my body what to do. Enjoy the peace of God. You can confess anything you want. I hate the misery of the lies of this world. And I hate it. I hate pride. I hate lust. I hate greed. I hate it. See, that's fortifying. You're not leaving anything to chance when you say I hate something. Because if you hate it, it gets real in your heart. If it's real in your heart, it gets real in your mind. If it's real in your mind, it turns off in your body. And it becomes something that's repulsive to you. The concept of adultery is repulsive now. The concept of fornication is repulsive. If I'm watching a movie and they add something like that into it, or they sneak it in there, it repulses me so much I don't even want to finish watching the movie. I'm not just making this up. This is how it's become. Why? Because I spoke the word and it's real. The word of God is more real than what Satan's doing. My love for God has grown. I don't have trouble in my mind, in my flesh, in my